teachers that we've had from their understanding. I often wondered what they thought about the boys and girls that went through their classes now. And, it's amazing how many of us who were born and raised in there made addition to your own community. And it would be interesting to see which one have made some impact in their own community. They all spread out in areas. Very amusing, is that when I was a senior in high school, the girls in the high school turn on a don't appeal to you because you think that the glamour gals are in LA. So many of us we used to take our jalopy and go into LA. And the first thing we come across was this, whenever you date a girl, naturally the girl wants you to meet the parents. And I never realized the reputation of the Turtle Island fishermen until, I was introduced as from Turtle Island. And the parent looked at me and you're a son of a fisherman. And one other area was, my daughter is going to marry someone who is a professional, not a fisherman's son. And that was the first awakening for me, how the prejudice of the Japanese class distinction in LA. It was strong. I never realized until here as a young man, innocent of all of these kind of appeal, to be told this.
This is your first date?
Well, this was second or third, I forgot, but the certain parent, I was going with one of the daughters of the Nihonmachi proprietor. And I guess he must have come across these fishermen who carouse around the streets there. They'd be drunken or they'd be gambling or something like that. So
pretty rowdy bunch.
Rowdy bunch. So I guess, they class everybody together, naturally. And that was a real life issue, sort of a blow, wondering what's going on in this country. What you learn, you take it with the good and the bad. So it was a very interesting situation.
I think if the boys and girls on Turtle Island, there wasn't that much social.
Not much of a socializing. The girls stuck with the girls. That's why very innocent, in this area of contact with the opposite sex. Because we were traditionally, Japanese don't do things. So you stay in one side and the boys stay in. And so for us who were so involved in athletics and weightlifting, so we didn't have too much time for girls. It's amazing. You don't think about it. But then, like in high school days, I was a captain of the varsity football team. And recently, a couple years ago, we had a reunion of our winter 40. That's when I graduated. And then you see everybody, say, hey, you talk, what happened to your hair? You just look your hair. And then all the girls that was the same class, this is He said, Yutaka? See, she remained Yutaka. He said, we never could figure you out. You know, you were the hero of the football team. And you had the pick of anyone you wanted. And we girls were really downhearted, but you never asked us for dates. Isn't it amazing? They thought that I was too good for the girls. And I thought, well, it was just the opposite. I was too shy. I didn't even know what life was all about. Even to date a girl. But it was very interesting. Many of them had already passed on. And, our class president was an captain in the Navy. And, a lot of them were engineers, quite a few longshoremen, you know, stayed inside the Euro. So it's amazing the kind of reaction one gets. That's about it. I was thinking that if we could rearrange some other time, I could contact Miss Swanson, Virginia, Yamamoto now, and Reverend Nicholson, who lives in Pasadena. Then some of the leaders, the older Niseis who were leaders then, make fun of a panel, and then you can shoot question at them. But they were the one that actually lived in Carolina. Whereas like myself, when I finished high school, I left the island, you see. And I went to college. So it was I didn't stay the rest of them. But these are the people who went through the suffering of evacuation, the traumatic experience of fathers being taken. And it might be well worth an experiment.
Yeah, we can do that again. Oh, that'd be nice. Although I think we haven't. How are you doing on time?
Oh, and
you okay?
Time is okay.
How about you folks? I just wondered, you know, the evacuation thing obviously is very interesting to us. But I think there at least some of us were really quite interested in the rest of it too. You know, when you were growing up, actually, the school, what school life was like, the transition from home to school, from Japanese at home to English at school. I there must have been some ambivalence in the attitudes towards teachers, for example, and having white teachers, you know, in the school. The principal sounds like she was very, you know, sympathetic, or she really understood. But I'll tell you why I asked this question. Last year, or 2 years ago, at the picnic, Timberland meeting, some of the teachers were there. But they were really kind of sitting apart. When I think back to when I grew up in Hawaii, most of us were sansei, but Japanese. So, it was this peculiar kind of relationship that we had with white teachers. There was a great deal of respect for them. They were people who were in authority, after all. But they were quite separate from us. I was just wondering whether, you know, the kids felt that.
Yes, I think it was inborn within us to respect the teachers. You know, a sensei to them was the ultimate in authority. No back talk, you know, naturally.
Did you hear that, you guys?
The as I think back of the teachers, I can think in terms of some teachers who were very impatient, and others teachers sympathetic in their dealing with the kids. But I think to them it was sort of an adjustment too, being all Orientals, all Asians. But as a whole, most of the Japanese students were highly competitive, and especially when you live in an island, you knew who were the smart kids, who were the regular. I was just one of the lower ones. I wasn't much for study. My brother, though, was very sharp, always, got the highest grades. And I think I remember my mom was saying, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?"
Mother's always been that.
Always, referring to your older brother who had such high grades, and here you come along. Just a mediocre, just passing through. But the teachers, you can always tell, as I recollect, some teachers who were really understanding, wanted to help you, and other teachers who were just impatient.
There are no teachers you would even vaguely consider to be racist. I love that maybe a harsh word to use. Or who felt that they were there. I mean, there's something in a missionary attitude sometimes that brings that out. You think about bringing up people who are beneath you, trying to educate your people's kind of thing.
Of course, when you're in elementary school, I didn't have that feeling.
You didn't?
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't get a chance to get
you. They call it Yang Chao. You know what that means?
No.
Yang Chao is a very mischievous kind of a boy. I had a boyfriend of mine that was sharp, but always playing around. And I can always recall when he or I were always in the back of the room, standing, disciplined.
In the corner.
In the corner.
I used to have to do that.
But my feeling of the teachers was a good one. I didn't have any animosity. But the principal is the one that really struck me as very genuinely concerned for the welfare of the people.
That was very important. She must have set the tone.
Yes, she did. She must have.
That was very fortunate. I think the kids now, in cases where they do run into teachers who are hostile to Japanese, the thing about being all Japanese in the classroom must have helped.
Yes.
That kind of strength of being in a whole community, maybe outnumber everybody else. Usual kind of thing.
Then the transition from, you finish your elementary school and then you have to go into junior high school. And there's a channel there. San Pedro is across. And you have to take the ferry boat. And I can remember that we looked forward to the day that we would be able to ride the ferry boat from Terminal Island, 5 minute ride across to the other side. That was the area now that a new horizon is opening up. Because up to then, you're confined in the island.
And that was the only means of getting back to the island.
That's right. And since we're in the island, you know, it's a walking distance to the school, the church. We don't see, we didn't have to have any means of transportation. So no one had any cars, so to speak. So when we finished the elementary school area to get initiated into the outside world, so to speak, that was an entirely new experience for us. Then for the first time, we started rubbing shoulders with the Italians and the Slavonians. We didn't know, you know, they were white, and we were blackheads. And the thing about it, though, is the Japanese always excelled in sports. And that was sort of a common meeting ground for doing things greater.
These were children of immigrants too?
Yes,
the Italians and the Slavonians.
But they were mostly, they were thoroughly, they were assimilated into the white society. Whereas we, strictly in all Japanese situations, going into a white society was but an adjustment. Fear and trembling, in a way.
It was?
Yeah. To me, it was here for the first time. Walking the streets of San Pedro, instead of being sandy, it's paved. You know, this kind of a situation. Most of us walked from Terminal Island to junior high school, which was about 2.5 miles. And there were some who took the bus because they have to, you know, sometimes they could afford. But a family with 3 or 4 kids all going across, motor transportation is walking. So that was another area.
You started out early then, huh?
Yeah. And then you start making friends, you know, with the Slavonians, whites, regular. I struck a warm friendship with the son of an executive of the pier in Wilmington. He lives in Palos Verdes. I recall this one incident where I was invited to their home. Now this is another interesting area that I just thought about. I still can remember the table, you know, she had fried chicken. And we sat around. And they had knives and forks now. You know, in Terminal Island, we use chopsticks. I mean, we were strictly Japanese. And for the first time, you know, and I look at the fork and the knives, and no one taught us, you know, how to use these. And I just sat there, you know, frozen, you know, I just observed my friend picking up the fork and start eating. And after I finished my first chicken, it was delicious. And I wanted some more. And too embarrassed to ask. And this fellow, you know, he reached out. Instinctively, I reached out with my fingers, you know, to just, and then I noticed the mother, you know, her eyes kind of widened, and I knew that I did something wrong, you know, you are not to, with your hand, you should use a fork that's by the side. And this small kind of things, you know, you, as you think back, it comes back to you. My mom never told me about knives and forks. Well, we had forks and knives there, but the proper usage. So
it's a whole different culture.
Whole different culture.
Culture shock.
Oh, that's really interesting. I didn't realize, you know, how really tight and everything.
Yeah, we were really Japanese in the term. Just strictly, from the land of Japan, it's been Japanese, you know, you wash yourself out first, you know, and then you get into the nice hot
ofuro.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And, you know, I really kind of look forward to that kind of, that old shallow bathtub of water. It's not
shallow.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Let me also give you an experience of when I finished my tour duty in the U.S. Army, I trained the 82nd Air Force Division, and I was a judo instructor by then. And finished my tour, and then I returned. At that time, when I returned, it was just a time of resettlement when the people were coming back to California. People who were interned in different areas. And my first job was as the boys' group secretary of the downtown YMCA. By that time, I finished my training. And here I'm coming as a neophyte. My first job with the YMCA. And at that time, the families that moved into L.A., and obviously we were living in L.A., you may have heard of it's a building, they used to call it a tall building, T-A-U-L, where all the guys used to hang around. And the merchants were getting kind of concerned, wondering what to do with all the young people who were just carousing around, nothing to do. So it was my responsibility as a youth worker, funded by the city and by the Y, to start a group club. Now this was for the boys. And this was my first experience as no experience. And I still can remember getting them into like basketball leagues and having a regular kind of a group club situation. And at the All People's Church, there was a Nisei social worker by the name of Jun Suzuki that had teenage girls as, you know, in their. And I had our Japanese clubs join the YMCA League in downtown Y, where we had our competition with one another, Hakujins, everybody. And at the end of the basketball season, they had this victory award dinner kind of there, where the fellows were to invite the girlfriends, you know, for dinner and then dance. And actually the fellows didn't know the girls enough to ask for a date. And so I called Jun Suzuki, who had these teenage girls just about the same age as the fellows. This is Jun, you know, we're having this basketball dinner dance, supposed to be a nice affair where we all get together and we have our own table. How's about pairing, you know, getting the girls and the boys together. And so we had about 15 boys, and they had about 15 girls, so it just made it perfect. So I told the Father Baron, guys, this is going to be a dinner dance. After dinner, they're going to be dancing. And you have to be a gentleman, right? Don't act like goofoffs like you last been doing, and actually be civilized. But they didn't know the girls, and they're in the other part of the place. And I'll never forget that evening when she came with the girls. And the fellows were all tidied up, you know, their jackets and everything. The boys who were so rambunctious and ready to tear up the place became suddenly quiet, real quiet. The girls came in, and so I thought they would make small talks, but they were, you know, this matter of social action within one another, being in camp, psychologically, there must be something about it. They didn't come out forwardly and ask the girls to pair off. And we thought they would, you know, just they were on one side and they're the other with the boys. And the Y leaders said, "Oh, let's all go in." You know, they were, and how could you? They already had their girlfriends, you know, their lady friend dates that time, and they were all seated. And I tried to get the boys to, you know, at least take one of the girls and go in and sit down. And the fellows were frozen. They just didn't know how to act. So I quickly got together with June and said, you know, we got to pair them off. It's going to get embarrassing. You know, they're all sitting. There it is. So these were young Nisei's, I guess.
Some of their parents did.
Yeah. And what happened was that we then had to say this, all right, all you fellows, let's line up in one line. In June, we got on the other side, get that line up. And then we said, okay, forward march. And that's exactly what we did. And they would just became ordinary, paired off, and we sat around. All right, now the thing about it, that was all right. We sat down and started getting kind of warmed up and we're eating and finished. The awards were given. And then it was time for the dance. And actually, the Hasidic couple, you know, there's no backwardness about it. When the music starts, you know, they all start coming. And here I'm sitting down, and then here I see the boys. I'm asking. And I said, no. So I went to the boys and said, now you fellows will have to cooperate. And at least show some chivalry involved. The girls and dance. So we will. They said, don't worry about it, you know, just we want to watch the others. So about an hour all sat while the Hagujin couple were dancing in that nice spacious floor in the YMCA. And then finally one of the guys got up and asked this girl for. And they started.